Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Midweek edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's get things going with the good of the day.
I don't know if this is such a good of the day, but, you know, I do. I think we need to highlight a friend of the show.
Okay.
Our man Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut, of course.
Yeah, just
had him on a number of times.
Yeah, just took down another competition in the only Joey Chestnut way possible.
What did he do?
This is where I don't know if it's good. 17 pounds of cocktail shrimp in 8 minutes.
Oh, my God. How do you do that? How much is now, 17 pounds of shrimp?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Tony, because here's the comparison, right? Most Americans may put down roughly 4 pounds of cocktail shrimp a year.
Holy cow. So he ate enough for four people?
In one sitting. In 8 minutes.
Sitting?
In See, 8 minutes. Not even one sitting. 8 minutes.
I'm so dumb, Ron. I don't know how much things weigh, right? Like if you gave me something and you said, this weighs 100 pounds, I probably would believe you. So when you said 17 pounds of shrimp, all I thought about was Forrest Gump's boat when him and Bubba had the only boat in the bayou and they cut open the net and just shrimp spills all over the deck of the boat.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing Joey Chestnut devouring as he's just finishing off cocktail shrimp.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many shrimp make up 17 pounds.
17 pounds of shrimp seems like a lot of shrimp. I mean, how much does one shrimp weigh? An ounce? 2 ounces? Right? Is that what we're...
I mean, maybe.
Maybe?
So if you go by that, say it weighs an ounce. Right? So that's 16 right there.
Right.
So I'm no good with math. I got to bust out the calculator.
It's a lot of shrimp.
That's 272 shrimps. If we're going by the math that one shrimp weighs an ounce.
Ugh. Like, seriously, I honestly, God, I do not know how they do that.
I don't either.
Like, listen, I'm not naive enough to think he's digesting all that. I know he's returning that to the garbage can. But how do you get it so it stays in until you're declared the winner? That's what I don't get. How do you get your stomach to expand with 17 pounds of food?
Well, I mean, that's, and
it?
We've had him on a bunch of times. He's explained it to us.
Yeah, and I still don't get it.
You know, I know it's a lot of water he drinks beforehand.
God, I can't deal with it.
But yeah.
All right, you might be right. That is a good, because we like Joey Chestnut, but at the same time, I just don't get it.
And it's shrimp, too. I mean, I can get behind the hot dog thing. I do.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. I mean, I like.
Don't you think after a while you don't even taste it? I guess so. It's not even a problem.
Yeah, I mean, in this situation, he's not dipping it, right?
No, he's not. Yeah, he's not putting it in cocktail sauce. Because yeah.
I can't eat it raw.
Right.
I think the only reason why I have cocktail shrimp is so I have an excuse to have cocktail sauce.
That's probably true.
And because I don't know what else you could put cocktail sauce on. I'm sure you can put it on a lot of different things.
Good point. Good point. All right, so what's the bad of the day, then?
The bad of the day is something that we can understand and get behind. It's
right.
Just maybe the execution was not done as well. A Maryland man trying to get rid of a snake infestation in his house accidentally burnt his house to the ground.
That's one way to do it, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, apparently, though, the rumor is that one snake survived, so.
And that snake is flipping him the snake bird as he's slithering away. Going,
oh, no.
You'll never kill me.
Yeah, and plotting his revenge because
right,
he just took
exactly.
down his entire family.
Took down the whole family, right? Yeah, that snake is coming back with an army.
So apparently.
There's no place that's safe for you.
Apparently, he was trying to smoke him out with some coals, but lit the coals near some combustible items. Obviously, those combustible items caught fire. 75 firefighters had to battle this blaze.
Holy cow!
By the time they got there, they said that the house was fully engulfed. The roof had already collapsed. And I guess the bigger issue was there wasn't a fire hydrant nearby.
Woo!
So it caused about $1 million in damage. His house was worth $1.8 million.
Oh!
So, here's my thing. Okay,
it's kind of arson, right? Not arson, but accidental fire. You get insurance for that if you make that mistake?
Well, it's not covering the whole house.
Right.
It's $1 million in damage. His house is worth more. I mean, if that was a car, you total it, right?
Right.
I don't think you can do that with a house. But here's my question.
But you get the cash, and then you buy another house.
Yeah, here's my thing, right? If you can afford a $1.8 million home in Maryland, because I know, you know, a $1.8 million home is like a two-bedroom apartment in Southern California.
Sure.
But if you can afford that in Maryland, don't you think you could hire someone to get rid of the snakes?
I would think so, too. I think there's a whole business that you can contact that will handle that for you. They know how to trap them.
And they will do it in a humane way. I don't know why he didn't. I mean, yeah, I guess if I'm an insurance adjuster or whatever they're called, that's probably the first thought that goes through my mind.
Maybe he's just like, you know what? I'm going to get these snakes. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And just went, yeah, okay.
I can picture Samuel Jackson saying his line that we can't say on air.
You got it. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, but I mean, we can understand. We can get behind the idea of like, hey, you know, just burn it to the ground to get rid of all the snakes. But, yeah, that was the bad side.
All right, so what's the dumb of the day? Because that was close.
I think we've talked about something like this before, and this just bears repeating, and I know we're going to have fun with it. But an Ole Miss professor complained via social media about the amount of money Lane Kiffin just received in his extension.
I saw this, and he got kind of roasted for this.
He did. And, I mean, you know, from the comments that popped up were, you know, I don't remember the last time 50,000 people showed up for your class or stuff. It's all those things. Are college professors probably more important to a university than a college football coach? Yes.
No, I disagree with that completely.
I'm saying like for, you know, just on the surface, not for what it brings into the school. Not the money it brings into school.
I'd even disagree with you then because
I'm just saying educational wise.
For a certain percentage of the population that is going into the field that professor is teaching.
Yes.
Not everybody is going to take
his
class.
That's
not
what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is if you have 30,000 kids at your school, they not all of them like football, but the football team represents the university and all that. But I may not take his business class because it may not be my major.
You're absolutely right.
So he's not more valuable than the thing that is probably affecting more people than one guy's one field of study.
Well, I wasn't saying one teacher. I was saying the professors as a whole.
Yeah, the professors as a whole.
Are probably more important to a university.
Well, it's the purpose of the existence.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, it gives them an identity. It gives a school an identity. And, let's face it, it brings in a lot more revenue immediately than any other school does.
Yeah, and, I have gone back and forth with a number of people who say, I can't believe LeBron James makes $35 million a year when a police officer makes $40,000 or whatever it is, right? And you go, look, guys, it's apples to oranges. It's not even apples to oranges. It's apples to, like, trucks. It's not even the same. Like, you're talking about somebody in a private business who works for a owned basketball team. He's a valuable employee. It's a billion-dollar industry. But when it comes to college athletics, there is something because he is a public employee, right? He's an employee of the state of Mississippi, right? That's not a private school. So he is an employee. So I get sort of the level of argument when, it's just one of those graphs that says the highest paid public servant in any state, and they go, Nick Saban, whoever is the head coach of the biggest university at the school is usually the guy on the list. So I sort of understand the emotion about it, but this is pure capitalism at its best.
Yep.
If you want a successful, here's the thing. It goes down to this. You have a university and you have professors at the university, right? And people go to that school and they get their education and all of that, right? Got it. But then those people go on to have careers. And then those guys and those people, men and women, are very proud of the university for whatever reason. And they want their university to shine in a number of different areas. It includes football. So what happens is, because they want it to shine in football and they've got money, they pressure the school to be good at football. And the only way the school can be good at football is if it hires the right coach. And then it just becomes a bidding war for the top talent. But they're not doing it because they're like, we're just going to get a football. They're doing it because there's a lot of pressure from the people who went to that school over years and years and years and decades to be good at football.
And I'm going to take it a step further, because you're just talking on the university level, because I have another story that piggybacks off of this one, right?
Right.
Jackson State, you know, Deion Sanders is the head coach there.
Right.
Is directly responsible for Jackson, Mississippi seeing a $30 million increase in revenue.
Absolutely. Great point.
So
absolutely,
that's another reason why you end up paying a Deion Sanders, a Lane Kiffin, a little bit more money than you would a normal teacher, because it just doesn't benefit the school. I mean, we see with Deion Sanders, you know, all of a sudden Jackson, Mississippi's like, we got $30 million extra dollars here. What are we doing?
Well, we talked about this during COVID, right? When everybody flipped out about COVID and like, how dare they play football and all that stuff. And I remember going, you and I talked about this. All right, take football away. Just take it away. Shut it down. Shut it down at these major schools, and you will see a trickle down effect that will make your head spin. These dollars are attached in a lot of ways to things outside the university, the businesses around that school, from restaurants to services, whatever. The people that get paid to handle a lot of football things. There is a ripple effect. It is not just dollars that go to one thing and one thing only. It is spread out. And yeah, there's just no other way around it. You want to pay a coach $500,000 a year to be the coach at Ole Miss? Find the guy to do it. There will be somebody that will take that job. You will stink at football, and you watch how the money dries up for other things.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, even like, say, you know, your university swim team is bringing in more money than your economics professor.
Yeah, right.
And it's just, I mean, you know, the economics professor may be costing you more money.
Unless you have one
of like the premier, like one of those professors that, oh, that's the reason why this person transferred the school to be, to study under this guy.
You get a letter. I get a letter. Everyone gets a letter from their alma mater asking for money every single year. With the cost of tuition through the roof, it's a wonder they're still peddling this. But they always do. They always send me money going, how would you like? And you know what? You can go through study after study after study that shows you have a successful sports team. People tend to do that more. People are more proud, right? People are more proud to send their money. And that's not going to the sports department. The university is not asking me to donate to the athletic department. The university is asking me to donate to the university.
Yep.
Right? That goes to more scholarships. It goes to more facilities. That goes to more labs. That goes to more whatever they want to do with it. It's not a pipeline to the coach's pocketbook. It's a pipeline to the university in general. And if you are like, well, we won the SEC championship, or we won the national championship, or we're going to a big bowl game, people have a tendency to write a little bit more in that check that they're donating to their school, especially when they have money. So I feel bad for this person, whoever it was that put this out and got the kind of hate. I bet they thought they were doing something that made people go, yeah, that isn't fair, man. That isn't fair. But there's a lot more layers to the onion than that.
You just read it. I know we've had this conversation before, because every single year it feels like there's a professor goes,
there's always one that does it.
Oh, you know, that shouldn't, you know, that's not right. You know, what I do for the school is much more beneficial to society than a football coach.
And he's probably right.
Maybe you are training the next person, or you're teaching the next person who will, you know, create that innovation. Be like the next Elon Musk.
Right.
But Elon Musk, you know, well, I don't even know if he went to school, but he'd be proud of his alma mater because of that football team.
Sure he would. All right, coming up now, Dave Preston's coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about Washington at 6-6 and winning 4 in a row as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.